Hello, it's Peter Wright and Kathleen Beauvais in Ontario, Canada, with another premium episode of The Yakking Show. This brings you premium content exclusively for our premium members. And we have another expert with us today, and we know we've spoken to her before. This is going to be really good stuff. But first, let's introduce Kathleen from down the road in Waterloo, Ontario. Hi, Kathleen. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Peter. And you're right. We always have wonderful experts on this show. And today is absolutely no exception. We have the great pleasure of welcoming back Sandy Rodriguez. She is a business owner, a speaker, an author. She's also an Evernote certified expert. Now, this is a software that helps you build systems to streamline your business. And today, she will be doing a presentation on Evernote and how it can help you in your business. Welcome, Sandy. Hello. How are you?
Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Peter. It's good to be here with you again.
So I'm going to hand it off to you immediately, Sandy. I'm going to do a screen share. You're welcome to start your presentation whenever you are ready.
All righty, let's dive right in then. All right, so should be looking at a little introduction here of starting with the basics. Why choose Evernote? I mean, I know why. I love it. It's a great app. But why should other people consider choosing it? I just went right to Evernote because they have this described very well. It gives you everything you need to keep your life organized. It's a great note-taking, project planning, and information holding app. Whether it's personal information, business information, it's simple and easy to use. It's accessible everywhere you need to be. Like it says, take it everywhere. It's on the web. It's on your phone. It's on your tablet. It's on your computer. Capture anything, keep it together, and find it fast. And that searchability is one of the biggest features of Evernote. You can find what you want really quickly. So let's take just a quick overview before we dive deep here. Evernote 10 was released at the end of 2020, and one of the features they brought out is what they call Home. And that's the picture you're looking at here. And it gives you a nice overview of what's important to you. You decide what goes in here, as you see over here on this Customize button. Home can be set up the way you want it to be. You can organize it your way. You can decide what you want to see, how you want to see it. There are lots of filters, lots of view options. So you can customize it, work the way that your brain does. You can actually sketch and annotate. This is particularly effective on tablets. So if you've got an iPad and an Apple Pencil, you can go in there and just hand draw things, which is really amazing. Even if you don't, you can do a lot with an annotate feature. For example, this is a screenshot. I can literally right-click on this, choose annotate this image, and I can come over here, add text, add arrows, shapes, highlighting, all kinds of things right to this image. Yikes, it jumped back. So even without an Apple Pencil, you can make notes on things that you attach, even PDFs. It's a little more limited, but you can even annotate PDFs a little bit. Wow. You can turn your to-do lists into your to-done lists because we have tasks. We're going to dive into that a little deeper in just a few minutes. And you can set up recurring tasks. So keep track of the things that are going on over and over again, set times and due dates. And again, we'll get into the tasks and talk about that a little bit more. It's a lot of information. And the beauty of it is that Evernote will remember everything so that you can accomplish anything. It helps you stay productive in a way that almost no other app I've ever seen does. It's flexible. That's the challenge and the joy. So the joy is that you can make Evernote work the way you want. The challenge is you've got to make Evernote work the way you want. So that's where Evernote experts come into play, because we explain all the different features and how you can customize them and structure them and make it work the way your brain works. It works on iPhones, Windows computers, Androids, Macs, Linux. It doesn't matter. Well, it works on all the platforms. There's a web clipper. I've been using that a lot lately because I've been doing some research where I can clip just articles. I can save URLs. I can put all of that in one notebook for whatever project I'm working on. So it's wonderful for that. Character recognition. You can find your notes looking for keywords, even if those words are in photos, scans of a whiteboard, a business card, or you hand wrote it, or it's in a document. That's one of its strongest features, yes, is that searchability. The web application is just about as powerful as the desktop application now. That wasn't true, but it is now. So you can have all the same functions no matter where you're accessing the app. And one thing that I've always appreciated about Evernote is the integrations. They play nice in the sandbox. They will work with a lot of apps, whereas many are so proprietary, they won't. So that is one thing I find of great value. And so I ask, do you have an Evernote account or do you need to sign up for Evernote? If you need one, you go just to evernote.com to sign up for free to get started. You'll find paid options too, but we'll get into why I recommend people start with free. Well, let's just get right into it. I think it's the best way to try an app is to do the free trial, look at it, nose around with it and see what it can do. See if it will meet your needs before you start paying for it. I start my tech journeys that way. This one took me no time at all to decide the paid version with all the bells and whistles was going to be important. There are different levels and things are changing right now. And I want to address that up front. So Evernote was acquired by a company called Bending Spoons this year. And I know that's caused some concern, but I want to let you know that we are talking as experts with the Bending Spoons leadership team. They are listening to us. They're implementing and addressing, first of all, some of the problems with reliability and stability that had cropped up. That's the first priority, is to get them fixed. And they are fully committed to making Evernote better than ever and continuing to grow it in terms of what features are added and its functionality. So I am 100% behind what's going on. And I'll tell you, as an expert, we were a little nervous at first. So we're very enthusiastic about how the Evernote team is listening and learning from us and being very responsive. So I would encourage you not to worry about the acquisition. I think it's going to be a good thing for Evernote. So also this notebook that I'm sharing with you, because my presentation is literally notes right in Evernote, which you'll see in just a moment as I change notes. And I will share these notes with anyone who would like to have access to them. You'll see that one of the things that you could do in Evernote is decide who can see your notes with the share feature. And that way you'll have this information, which will be my contact information and your opportunity, if you would like, to book me later for more in-depth training or more specific one-on-one, which is usually really helpful when you're getting started. But let's do first things first. I'm going to jump to that now, and you'll see now I am in my actual Evernote. What I had done there before, I'll show you what it was. If you want to see a full screen view, all you have to do is click this new expand note. That's something Legacy didn't have, which is pretty cool. So now the distractions are gone of all the left navigation. So first things first, let's talk about how you should think about Evernote. To better understand what we're going to be doing walking through all these notes, let me just give you the basic structure. There's notes, notebooks, and stacks. Notes are where you put everything. So if you clip something, copy it, type it, write it, it's in a note. Notebooks hold notes. So there's no such thing as an independent note. Every note lives in some notebook somewhere. That's why structure becomes very important very quickly, and we'll get into that. And then you can put related notebooks together in what Evernote calls a stack. That's a little hard concept. So I've developed some visuals here. So if you think about a bookcase, the bookcase can be filled with binders or what Evernote calls notebooks, right? And each notebook is filled with the notes related to the topic of that particular notebook. So like this might be miscellaneous notes. I'm just using this graphic I grabbed. This could be manuals. This could be renovation projects. Doesn't matter. The idea is related notebooks live in a notebook together. Then if you picture the notebook shelf, you put notebooks together that are related. So it's like if you were filing in your filing cabinet and all your financial files are in the red folders and all your medical records are in the blue folders. Same concept, right? You have the notebooks that are related together. In Evernote speak, we call that a stack. A stack is like a bookshelf. Okay. So if you had the top stack was all personal notebooks, could be one notebook about a bathroom renovation, one notebook or more than one notebook could be for sons and daughters. And the third notebook might be related to an organization for which you volunteer. Another notebook could be related to travel or vacations, but all those things are personal. So they can live in a personal stack. Now, sometimes stacks get big. That happened for me. My personal stack is way too big to be one stack. I have a family stack, and every person in the family has a notebook. It's just, notebooks don't have to have a ton of notes in them. It's just you have to be always thinking about how is it organized? How will I want to go hunting for this information later? The fastest way is to have structure to the notebook so you know where to go quickly. Not that you can't use search. Search is very powerful, and I'll show that. But it's nice if you know where things are and you can just go. And then I just gave another example here too of the second shelf could be business notebooks. So you could have a notebook that has all the notes of your clients, or like in my case, every client has a notebook of their own because my clients tend to be repeat. And so I want a notebook just for each time that we interact and have work together. Another notebook could be notes on suppliers or vendors if you have those. If you're running a business, a third notebook should definitely be an operations manual. In fact, you might want that as a stack so you could divide out marketing from HR, from financial, and have a notebook for each of those. But we'll talk about that a little more when we get into naming protocols. But you've got the idea. So to make this concept a reality, you have to start somewhere. When you start with Evernote, they give you one notebook. I think it says first notebook or something like that. I haven't started a new account in a while. But that first notebook wants to be labeled as your inbox, and that's on purpose. So let's get into talking about notebooks. We're going to open this up again for you again. But before I do, just a quick view. So you have, in terms of your navigation, you have the left panel is your main navigation area. I'm going to close that for just a sec. And the middle is where I was talking about one of the options for how your brain works. So up here, you've got a lot of options. You can sort these notes by the title, which is what I prefer to do. I work alphabetically. Sometimes, though, I want to find the newest note that got updated so I can resort it and it will jump that note right to the top. That's the newest one that was updated. So I can surface that one quickly. Or the date that it was actually created. Again, it puts it up there. That's the newest note in this notebook. So it puts it at the top. We'll go back to title because I needed to run that way today. You can sort them. You can sort the notebooks by what tags they have, whether it contains any of this information. Wow. Oh my goodness, they keep adding more. Every time I teach this, I'm amazed at how much more I learn. By the date it was created. If you want a note that was created in the last 7 days, right? You click that. See, the rest of them went away. Mm. So that's a filter that you can do for searching inside of a notebook itself, especially, I've got some notebooks that have 150 notes in them. I think I'm going to have to use this filter more because it's going to save me some time. And same with updated, right? You can put a timetable on that. So that's the filter icon. Then you can decide how you view it. I'm using something called Snippet View. Then maybe you want it to be bigger. You want more cards so it can show up like that. Or you just want a list. You know what everything is and you just want to see it by title. Or you want a completely different view and you can set it up like Outlook does as a top list, which is also adjustable in height.
Okay.
This is not my favorite because I feel like it limits the screen I'm working in. So I'm going to take it back to snippets because I like that. And I can't get into all of this, but I'll show you some more of some other options you have. You can decide if you want images to show up. I like that. That helps me seeing the visuals. But you could decide to turn that off and then all those little pictures will go away and you'll just have descriptions. You can have a little body text or just the pictures. You could show tags if you're using them. If they have reminders, it will show the reminders or not show the reminders. Now, what's lovely about one of the recent updates is you can set this view for just this notebook. It's not universal to every notebook, which is really cool because it depends on which kind of notebook you're in. If it's work or personal, you may want different views. So the idea that you can set the view by notebook is a beautiful thing. So let me jump back up to here. Actually, we were in creating notebooks, weren't we? So I've been jumping around already. So let me open this up and we'll talk about creating notebooks. So your first notebook, you want to set up to work just like your inbox and email, whatever email you use, whether it's Outlook, Gmail, whatever. We all have an inbox. Everything comes in somewhere. The best way to organize incoming content into Evernote is to do the same thing, to have this default notebook where everything coming in will go, because then you could just go there like you do in your inbox and mail and sort it into the proper notebooks, because you can send emails in from your email accounts. You can clip things out of Web Clipper. Now, Web Clipper is a unique entity in that you can actually tell it right then, right there, okay, send it to this notebook. So you don't even have, you can bypass the whole inbox process. But it's just generally easier to think of getting your content started with going all into one place. And then you just go one place and sort from there. So it, I say it's like when you get snail mail from the physical mailbox. These are bills, these are letters, these are checks, these are junk, right? We do that sort. So you do the same thing with this. So you can either create a new notebook or rename the notebook that you're starting with. And you can do it a couple of ways. You can start a new notebook by going under the file menu and choosing new notebook. Or if you go over to the left navigation and you scroll down, you'll see in bright green the words new notebook. You can click that there too. You even have the option of clicking notebooks itself, and you can come into the whole area where it shows notebooks. So I'm going to show you that one really quickly because that's helpful to know. If you want to see all your notebooks, you can come right in here and they'll be listed. Now you saw me click this. These are stacks. So if I want to see everything under these, I have to click that little arrow and it will open it. And there are a lot of things that you could do over here, which I won't have time to get into right now, but you can, you have some options, adding to shortcuts, adding to stacks, adding a note to it, sharing the notebook, renaming it. So if you have a notebook that's just your first notebook, that's one way to get that renaming done. It's just come into the word notebooks, come over here and click rename notebook. Presto change it. Come in and call it dot inbox. Why dot? That's something people often wonder about. Why they tell me why dot in front of that title? Well, if you're sorting over here alphabetically, dots go first, and you can see that, right? My first has the period in front of it, then number one comes next. So it takes precedence. Any symbol, you could use a star symbol too. So a symbol alphabetizes first, numbers alphabetize second, and then letters alphabetize third. So you can force a certain thing. So for me, in teaching this course, I have always wanted these notes to run in a certain sequence. I didn't label them alphabetically. So if I were to go alphabetically, they'd be all out of order. By using numbers, I force them to sequence the way I want to run through this little mini course on Evernote. So choose a new notebook, name it dot inbox, and then I'm going to go back into notebooks because I just realized I don't have it in here. But if you want it to be default, I'll show you on a different notebook. I can't show you on my inbox. When you click these three dots over here, you get the option to come into here and set it as default notebook. See that command? That's how you want this one set. You'll see I don't have that choice here because it's already the default notebook.
Right.
So the one that you create dot inbox, you want to be your default notebook. And that's what will force the inbound content to go there first. Okay. When you create a new notebook, and this is every single time, it will ask you, share the notebook or personal? I always recommend just choosing personal to get started, get the notebook created. You can always choose later to share the notebook, but it's easier. It's a simpler process to start creating a new notebook. And I'll just show you that real quick. So if I'm in here, I'm going to create a new notebook. I'll just call it test. And they must have changed that on me. They used to ask you right then and there if you wanted to share it or not. So apparently they're not doing that anymore. So scratch that thought. But if I wanted to share this notebook, all I would have to do is I could choose to right click over here and I get the command to share it. And then I can decide. And this is really important. You have some choices here you need to know about. You want to control what access people have to the content in the note. If you don't care what they put in there or what they change, go ahead and give them editing and inviting power. That gives them everything. That's like administrative level. If you don't want them to invite anybody else or share that note with anybody, then you would just choose edit, right? If you want them only, and this is a valuable tip, to view the note, like let's say I've got a proof of something I want to share with a client. I don't want them to touch it. I just want them to see it. I would give them can view power. That's all they can do. They can open the note and look at it. They can't type in it. They can't share it. All they can do is look at it. I can also later revoke that access. So in a notebook like this that is already shared, when I come into the sharing section, you can see all these people have been shared on it. I could come in here and say, okay, just we'll remove access. She's not sharing it anyway. But you can see where I have restricted to these people that I've shared it with, all they can do is view it. So that's a really valuable hint when you're trying to decide how to control the content of the notes and nobody can take away or add to it. Okay. That's a whole lot about notebooks. Hopefully that was helpful.
Yes.
We're going to jump into the notes that go inside. And this one we've got to open up because there's a lot of good stuff in here. So a note is just like it sounds. It's any piece of information you want to save for later. Now I use Evernote as my backup brain, quite literally. Like if this app ever went down, I'm in trouble. Everything I need to know is in here. Anything I need to keep organized is in here. And then if I'm out and about and I need to look it up, I can grab my phone. Or if I'm here at my desk, I can go into the app. Or if I'm with somebody else, I can log in from the internet. It doesn't matter. All the content is where I am all the time. And that's a wonderful thing. Simple things like when we were doing a home reno project, I took my phone. I was taking pictures of bathroom vanities and I was capturing SKU codes. And then they were there when we got home. And my husband and I were like, okay, well, should we do this vanity or that vanity? We had all the content right there at our fingertips without going back to the store. That's a beautiful thing, let me tell you, for saving time. If you're working with a contractor particularly, and he says, go to Lowe's, pick out the vanity that you want. Then you can send the note to the contractor and say, this is the one we picked. And he'll either say, buy it or, okay, we got it. We'll pick it up, whatever. But you know, it's such a communication tool to be able to save everything right in here. Mm-hmm. And these are just some images of different things you can do. You can see this with some sketching going on here. This one is a scan. This one is probably a picture they took of things sitting on a desk. You could keep pretty much any kind of content you can imagine in a note. You can type, write, or even record audio notes from any meeting. That's simply under this. We'll get into this a little more, but over here, you just choose audio recording and you literally click that. It starts recording and you turn it off when you're done. So if you're doing an interview with someone out remotely, super easy to have an audio file built right in here. You can edit on the fly, as you keep seeing me do. clip websites as articles or URLs for future reference. If you're writing a book or you're doing social media or you're blogging and you're gathering information out and about on the web, you can collect it all in Evernote and then go back and take that as inspiration for whatever you're trying to write. You can annotate photos and PDFs for quick communication with teams working remotely in field offices or building sites. So let's say somebody's out in the field and they're taking a picture of a piece of the construction project that the architect has to look at. There's something wrong or that he needs feedback. All he has to do is share the link back to the architect who can look at it and go, oh, wait, you know what? No, do this. Or that looks fine. That's approved. Move forward. But it's so fast, right? And it's saved, it's permanent because it's in Evernote. So it's a really great tool for that. Snap and store photos of anything that might inspire new ideas, new designs, or new compositions. Snap photos of a whiteboard or post-it notes from a brainstorming session. I've done this. I've attended live events and they've got those big jumbotrons up there. And I take a picture of the jumbotron because you can't take notes fast enough at those things. It's impossible. So I keep, basically that's my version of a screenshot. I get Evernote out. I open a new note and there's an option. I didn't want to do that. There's an option here where you can add an image. And so you just take it on your phone. Actually it works a lot better on the phone. Of course you open the app and it says new photo and you just hold it up, snap the jumbotron, boom, done. Move on to the next screen. Scan contracts, legal documents, receipts, travel documents, business cards. I don't take business cards from people anymore. I'm going to lose them anyway. So I scan them. I use my phone to snap a picture of the business card in Evernote. Evernote knows, it recognizes, it's got, I don't know that it's necessarily AI, but it's got the capability to recognize I just took a picture of a business card and it will convert it into a specific kind of note. I don't know if I have any in here. I should have one. I should put some business cards in here so you can see this. Might be in here. Nah, I don't have any in here right now. I'll have to get some scanned in here. But that would be the point, right? Then you go into your cabinet where all your business cards are stored and all the data is there. Especially if you're out and about and you're like, oh, I want to introduce you to so-and-so. But the business card is back in your office. No problem. Mm-hmm. You've got it scanned into Evernote. Just pull it up. So I scan it and I hand it back to them. That's what I do with business cards. Use your computer, mobile phone, or tablet to create any kind of note and recall them as needed. And interesting. I didn't realize I had the picture in there twice. well, as long as I'm here, I can show you, this is your where you go to edit and annotate an image. If you just want to look at it bigger, you can do that. You can even just scroll through all the images that are in your note like that. If you just wanted to see all the pictures, you can also go under here and you have more options. You can name this attachment. You can do, I just did the full screen preview. You can open it, you can save it, you can view it as a title. See how it just went away? Basics capture everything JPEG. Instead of looking at a picture, it's a title. I'm going to put it back in preview mode. Boom, there's the picture. So you want to, when you're in Evernote, you definitely want to play around with any of these dots because there's always a lot of commands that you can work with there. But let's talk about what else you can add to a note. You can attach files of any kind. When I say any, I mean any. My other business, DNS Designs, is a promotional products business. And one of the things we do is embroidery. Embroidery requires a highly specialized kind of file for digitizing called a DST. Nobody saves DSTs, right? Except on computers. Evernote does. I can put that in here. I can't see the picture of it, but I can save it in here. So the next time the client comes back and we need to run their file, all I have to do is pull it back out of Evernote, run it into the embroidery machine, boom, done. So I put AI files in here. I put Word docs, pages. It doesn't matter. It'll go cross platforms. You can put any file you can imagine. Checkboxes and tasks. We'll get deeper into that later. You can do bulleted and numbered lists. That's up here. That's your checkbox numbers. That's your bullets, your numbers, and your checkboxes. Photos from your camera roll. Remember I said I didn't have a business card up there. I should get it off my phone and put it in here. You can take a photo with your camera or webcam. I screenshot. Oh my goodness. Here's a tip. I attend way too much training. And when I do, I know I'm not going to remember everything. So I screenshot it and I save all those screenshots in the note related to whatever that webinar is. Then I can go back slower. And multiple times and look at it again and again and again until I've really got it in my brain. And having the screenshot, and then after I do that, I type in what else I want, whatever the presenter's saying, to go along with the screenshot. It's almost like video capturing, but I'm a reader. I don't watch a ton of video. So having a screenshot and some text is the perfect answer for me. And sometimes you don't have the video recording later. So if you've got screenshots, that's the best way to capture things. And then, like I said, audio. That's as simple as coming up here and choosing audio recording. When you click it, it asks for access. Oh, I haven't done it yet. See the little red line? We are now recording audio. It is that fast and easy.
Wow.
When you're done, here's my audio file. Isn't that cool?
It is.
Yeah, that is clever.
And if you're, I think you could do this on Windows. I should double check, but I can undo that. So I took that audio file away because I record this each time I teach this. It's to show how it works. You can edit the notes. You can see I've got all kinds of colors and fonts and styles and headings, and that's all under here. In fact, let's just dive into it. I took a picture of all of them for you. So every time you're in a note, you're going to get all of this navigation option that you see up here. And then these are all the different drop downs, all the different things you can do inside of notes, the font sizes. Wow, I haven't done 96 yet. That's big. You can choose header styles, medium headers. See, I didn't even do all of that. There's so much under here. Apply large header, update large header to match, resize large header to default. And it's got that for all of these, or you can just do normal text. So those are options. You can do all these font styles, font colors, highlighters. We used to be restricted in legacy to just yellow. I love that I can have colors now. So I played around with that up here, as you see the web. It's not the web version. I need to update that, but you have 6 highlighter colors now. And one of my favorite tools that you see this in, this is actually what's referenced as a table in here. And you see, I made the table icon sort of show up once I clicked on it. So what I have up here is a row that is merged, because you can see there are 3 columns down here, but not here. That's because you can come in here and you can merge and unmerge cells. I'm going to do it real quick just so you can see. I'll unmerge it. You'll see what it does. Obviously, that's not big enough. So when I merge cells, I enable that to be 3 columns wide as 1 cell. And I did the same thing on these 2 columns. No, actually I didn't. I was doing that. You can do the same thing with rows. You can make rows merge, or I'm saying columns. That was a row. You can do, you can configure this any way you want, which is a beautiful thing.
Wow.
I'm not going to go through all of this because by design, because it's just too much, but all of these links are updated. So once you have access to this notebook, you can go through these to learn about checklists. I am going to do tasks in a minute. I showed you a little bit about annotating your notes. There is a lot more there. So you can go to, these all go to Evernote help. You can see how the links are popping up there. Mm-hmm. This is how you send emails in. That's like 20 minutes by itself of explaining how to add business cards, how to use the web clipper. These are all amazing tools that I'd be happy to teach about at a separate time, but it just, I'm trying to give you broad strokes and I'm already getting challenged mm-hmm. on time. So we are going to jump into Stacks very quickly. We talked about this briefly, but we'll just go over it again. Just in terms of the structure, I want to start bringing your mind around to how do I organize all this? So you can decide whatever Stacks you want, whatever works for what content you're collecting. Some businesses will they'll organize their notebooks by department or project or products or events that they're holding, or they might organize them by customer or client or by company. That's one of my notebooks, is actually my stack. It's a stack of clients, and then each notebook under that is a client. So that's an organizational way. You could do it by project phase or product development. See, all of this depends on what you do for a living. And you could even organize them by time. This could mm-hmm. be everything that is due in January, February, March, et cetera. You could have yearly notebooks where here's all the yearly and quarterly tasks. I mean, the sky's the limit. That's the thing that's so beautiful about this. And it's why I describe Evernote as Play-Doh. You can shape it into mm-hmm. everything you want it to be, which is the challenge. So that's why we go through some of this organizational concepts. So, the idea, though, is to make sure that the content is organized in the way that works for the whole team. So my husband and I, being in business together for over 30 years, tried a number of apps. It wasn't until we landed here on Evernote and I was able to build out a workflow inside of Evernote that we were able to get on the same page with the same app. And that's the beauty of this, is that you can build the workflow for yourself. We have had to do some adapting coming into Evernote 10. Some of the methods and tools that we were using aren't coming into 10. But that's the nice part about it, is we just adapt. Now, instead of using a lot of work chat, we're putting tasks in Note and tagging each other as being responsible for the task. Then we task each other back as to the next step. And so that's the new workflow. So you just develop what works for your team. Now, one of the things that was really important to me was to get as paperless as possible. Like I said, been in business over 30 years. We had files and files and files of paper. And I was kind of over that. For one thing, that's not portable. You're stuck working in one place when you're doing that. When you can get paperless and digital, then you can work any way you want, anywhere you want to be. And that was one of my goals, was to be more mobile, be able to work remotely. And we've done that. And that's because of Evernote. We set everything up to run in here instead of on a piece of paper, and we can communicate, because it's funny, my husband is not traveling as much as I am. I'm going places, he's not, but we still have to collaborate. So we can, because of Evernote and phones, of course, but Evernote is where we track everything that's going on and we communicate about the different jobs. Can only do that if you're pretty much paperless. So our files have been less than halved. I mean, when I do annual files to be put away for legal reasons, I put 2 years in a box. I mean, that, and just one of those little cardboard boxes. That's mm-hmm. how paperless we became. Wow. And it's a wonderful thing. And here's how you do it. You use lots of scanning. You scan in your documents, you create digital documents and save them in here. Like my Evernote is full of PDFs. When I'm in my accounting software and I'm doing an order confirmation to a client or an invoice or a purchase order, all those things used to be on paper. Now they're not. They're PDFs and they're saved in a note with the job that it's associated with. Works like a dream, because I'm emailing them anyway. I don't need it on a piece of paper. That's the other part that changed. We're not faxing anymore, at least not mostly. But you can put your invoices in there. If you're traveling for work, like I'm going to be doing, let's say you've got hotels and you've got receipts. You scan that hotel bill right in there. You scan your gas receipts right in there. And then tax time, boom, boom, boom. It's all right there. You don't have to find it because you've scanned it along the way. You can save emails that are important in there. Now, a lot of people do like to send whole emails into Evernote, but I will confess I don't. I prefer to copy and paste relevant details from the email into the note because the email will come in as a separate note. It's one more paper, even though it's not paper, to keep track of. And I just don't want to. So that's an alternative, is just to copy out the relevant information from the email and paste it into the note for the project you're working on. And then you don't have to find that email again. That's the beautiful part about capturing things out of email. My inbox is ridiculous. I probably delete 100 emails a day, and that is not an exaggeration because sometimes I let it go and then it's 200 and 300 emails I'm emptying out of the trash. So yeah, I don't have time to search email. And right now, mail is not cooperating and showing me notes I want to see anyway. So I need to be even better than I am about capturing those notes from the emails coming in and putting them in job notes so I don't have to look at mail anymore. You can create client notebooks and put a new job note in for each job the client does with you. That's how I got started. As a promo business, everybody comes in, I need this, we execute, done. And that is a repetitive process. So I created template notes. They come in, we collect the data. It's all in Evernote. It's a new note every time they come in with a new project. And it's a very smooth workflow rhythm. Most of us in business, or you know, if you're doing that kind of work, this is an ideal structure to use. You can put your graphics and your branding assets in there. When somebody says, I've got to put up a social media post, they know where to go, right? They go to the branding notebook, grab the proper logo. They've got the PMS or the hex colors, depending on what they need. And they're on brand all the time. So that's a key notebook for businesses. You can keep meeting notes in there. In fact, Evernote now will give you a template suggestion that says, we see you're having a meeting. Would you like to set up a meeting note to take notes? And so you've got that lives in the job. You can set up project timelines with everybody and share that note and say, here's the workflow, here's the project timeline. And, you know, Sandy, you got to have this done by this date. Okay, Joe, you got to have that done by that date. And it's all right in one place and everybody can see it. So everybody stays on schedule. One of my favorite ways to use Evernote for process is an operations manual. I did not appreciate the importance of this when I was first in business. I didn't have one of these. And I found it extremely difficult to even consider hiring someone because all I could think was, how am I ever going to find the time to get them trained? I'm already too busy. But somehow I have to do my job and their job as I'm teaching them how to do their job. How am I? This is never going to work. And then I discovered operations manuals. And I realized that if I documented all the different processes I used, all I have to do is run through it once with them and then say, okay, if you have questions, go to this notebook. It's all in there. You can put in screenshots, text, Loom videos, anything you can imagine to explain the different processes that the person's going to have to do. And that becomes the first stop. Instead of coming to you again and again, and I forget how to do this. Can you tell me again how to do this? That's done. If you document everything properly in an operations manual, that's done. You train them once. You say, here's the, you know, all the notes, here's the videos, here's everything you need to know. Follow that. Now, if for some reason they are still coming to you and say, okay, I did that, I still am not quite sure, this is where Evernote is the perfect operations manual. You obviously didn't share quite enough information in the training process. So go in and update it. Answer the person's question, update the note, and boom, the next time somebody has to use that, that question's been answered. Think of it as like pre-done FAQs, right? The first time somebody goes through it, they're going to see things that they needed you to tell and you just didn't. So you update it. But because it's a living document, it's not a piece of paper printed out in a binder. Oh, now we got to print all new binders. That's done. It's right there. You just go in and update the note. And then collaborating, this is what we've done in our team. We've collaborated between the two of us back and forth, sharing ideas, sharing tasks, collecting information from the web, saying, I love the layout of this website. You know, we should do this for our client that just came in as a, you know, wants a website. I think this is a perfect layout for, like, it's perfect. You just go back and forth with the information. And then I had to add this note. If you structure Evernote well, you may find you no longer need Asana, Trello, Monday, or other apps. because you have everything in Evernote. So I just saved you money. You're welcome. I run my whole business and my whole life in Evernote. So then we get into stacks, and I know I'm running a little long on this. This is what I said. It's so hard to talk short about Evernote. There's just too much to tell. But one key thing everyone needs to understand about Evernote stacks, they are unique to the user. So my set of stacks is different than my husband's set of stacks, is different than my VA set of stacks. We all have the same notebooks shared, whatever ones we have shared together, but I don't arrange them into stacks for them. My stacks are my stack structure, which is really, really nice. You really need to have that kind of flexibility, because that's part of, let me set this up the way my brain works. And if you had to use my stacks the way my brain worked, it would not be as effective. So you get to structure it the way you want to. Now, the individual notes and notebooks, yes, whoever created the notebook, that the notebook structure will stay the way it is, but the stacks can be done the way you want them. And so if you want to set up stacks, that is going back to where I showed you before. We'll shrink this down, where you come over here and you just come into notebooks, and you can see these nifty little stack icons. And if you click those open, boom, those are the notebooks, and you see a notebook icon. What's nice about this in under notebooks is it's a really broad strokes. There are the notes in the notebook too. So you could do a lot of navigating just from notebooks if you want. These are all the notes that are in that notebook. And so if I wanted to have this in a different stack, I would have to come over here. And since it's in a stack, first I have to remove it from a stack, and then I can put it in another one. So let me show you the test one. If I want to add it to a stack, it's telling me, here's all the stacks you have. Which one do you want to put it in? Or I literally could create a new one just for that. I'm just going to throw this in demo just because. And boom. So now if I go to demo, there's that notebook in that stack. Super, super easy. Okay. Now the fun part, going back where I was. It likes to jump back to the first note. So let's get into naming protocols. I know I'm running out of time. I knew I would not get through all six of these. There's just too many features to Evernote. But this one is really critical, and I want to make sure we get through this. This is where Evernote gets personal. You're going to build out the structure the way your brain works. And I've given you some suggestions of stacks, and here are some actually named and structured ones. So I have a stack that actually says clients. And then I also have a notebook in there that is special that just says dot clients. Remember, the dot forces it to the top, and one that says dot prospects. Mm-hmm. Every other one is the name of a client, and we'll get to naming at the bottom of this note, and I promise I'll get through it. I'm going to go a little faster. I also have a stack called business, and each of these notebooks is whatever is related to business. I have templates set up that for any task that is repeatable or any job, I create a template, and you got to have the master somewhere. So I have a notebook of masters. I have a marketing notebook. Actually, I have a marketing stack. Reports. You have a meeting notes notebook where every time you meet as a team, you take notes, you put it in there, and then everybody has the action steps and a historical reference to go back and say, oh, shoot, you know, when we met back in January, I know we talked about that project, but what was that? Boom, go into the meeting notes. There it is. Travel. It's whether you're doing plane reservation numbers, you know, which I'm going to forget the word. I haven't flown in a while. Which gate you're going out, car rental information, hotel phone numbers. I mean, I've traveled with groups, and this was a beautiful thing because I just kept pulling everything up in Evernote. Okay, this is what we need here. Here's my car rental information. Where's my car? Go into the hotel. I check in. Here's my hotel check-in information. And then collecting receipts. You go out to meals. You get a receipt from the meal. You collect it. It's travel for business. It's tax deductible. So you want to collect all these things. But it's much easier if you just scan it into a travel notebook. If you're developing new products, if that's what your business is doing, you could have a notebook for that with the specs, the designs, the meeting notes. Again, we talked about having a design notebook with all the brand assets. Then I encourage people to have a stack that's called cabinet. Now, cabinet is exactly like it sounds. It's a filing cabinet, only it's virtual. And so these are the things you just need to keep. Maybe you're not touching them every day. These are notebooks like for ideas. things that you want to use in the future. This is where I put the business cards. This is where I put reference material. I go to a trade show and I collect ideas. I collect it into the cabinet. Sometimes it's just a note you create. It's just information you want to keep. It doesn't fit anywhere. I have a notebook called Notes to Keep. Non-essential. But what happens is when you use the search feature in Evernote, sometimes those notes will surface again. And you're like, oh, wait, that's right. I remember taking that note. Maybe it's relevant now. So now you go into it, but you haven't lost it. And our brains are not wired to keep as much information in them as we're trying to do today. We live in an information saturated world. This is your peace of mind. You won't forget it because Evernote's remembering it for you. And that helps you sleep better. I can tell you that with total assurance because I used to stress at night. I don't want to forget this. I don't want to forget this. Well, most of us, we're not supposed to, but we have our phones next to our bed. Now you could just go in, grab it, type it into a note in Evernote and go peacefully back to sleep because Evernote's going to remember it for you. So that's what your cabinet is for. It's just hanging on to those things you've got to remember. And then we talked about operations manuals, so I won't go into great detail about it. You can look at this note here, but here are some notebooks you might want to have in there. And the reason you do it separately as a stack is so that the CEO is owner eyes only, right? These are the things that only the owner should have access to. The notebook isn't shared. But the marketing team, they need to see what's in marketing, but they might not need to see what's in financial, right? So you want to have the departments separated into their notebooks. Your operations, this one probably everyone will see. This is strictly like, this is how we greet people. This is how we onboard people. This is how we recruit. This is how we execute this task to run the business. That's the kind of thing that lives in there. All these others are a little more specialized and not everybody needs access to every notebook. Having them all separate makes that easy to do. And we also talked about personal, right? Vacations, medical, family members, home improvement projects. So a big piece of this is, how do I name all this stuff? And I just want to show you over here as I'm doing this one. So over here, I have different stacks. I'm going to close them all up right now just so you can see just stacks. All right. Quick run through here too. So over here, you could save notes in here with a right click. You can add them to shortcuts. It's funny because this is what my husband told me. This is all he uses. He has certain notes that he's in and out of all the time. So he put them all in his shortcuts and he has a rhyme and a reason to them. So if you've got a note you're using every day, like I'm in and out of a dashboard note every day. So that is in my shortcuts. Whatever the note might be that you use a lot, you could put in there. This is all your notes. You can turn on or turn off the count. You can add a new note right here. Under here, this is new note or task, or you can add an attachment, an audio or a sketch. That's your search. You can have it search just a notebook or search everywhere. It will start guessing as soon as you start typing. So I'll just put in cabinet because that's in a couple of notes and it surfaced anything with the word cabinet in it. So the search is very robust. Then this is notebooks. This is a notebook. Remember, that's our inbox. Then this is where the stacks begin. So this is why I suggested one, it's called cabinet. These are just the things you're saving. So there's the business cards, there's the ideas. I do a lot of teaching of Evernote. So I have a whole stack. This was a group I taught. These are a couple of individual ones I've done. I think this was just me giving a demonstration of how to create a new notebook. Some of these came in that way. Content creation, you can see how a notebook can quickly fill up with things. So let me get back into there. So in terms of naming the stacks, let's get back down here to naming. This is, again, this is just like your physical filing cabinet when you're putting all the car things together in, like we've got two cars. So I've got one folder for the car and one folder for the truck. With the medical, I've got a folder for my husband, for my son, and for myself. Like, you organize things that are related to each other and you name them accordingly. So they're all called medical, or the car ones are all called auto. Right. So you want to have that same sort of protocol as you're naming things in these notebooks. So, for example, if you wanted the marketing group, everything related to marketing, you could just start all the notebooks with MKTG as a shortcut or the word marketing. And then whatever it is. So marketing, LinkedIn, marketing, Instagram, marketing, blog, right? You, whatever you divide it out into. So you do the same thing with the sales department, sales reports, sales quarterly goals. For meetings, you could name notebooks or notes using dates of the meetings. For tags, and I'm not going to make it into tagging today, so actually I'm going to skip past that. But when you decide how to name a note or notebook or stack, you want to be asking yourself, how do I want to view this? So for me over here, I wanted the teaching notebooks all together. So that's why I created a stack. And every time I teach a class, I start a separate notebook over there. I'll be pulling out what we covered today and creating a brand new notebook with just these notes, which then I'll be able to share with you. How do I want to view it as a title? That's more important with the notes. So like here, me choosing to number them so that they run sequentially for me, that was a conscious decision, not an accident. Think about how you want to view them. And then what part of the notes information will I need to know to find it again quickly? So some of your titling might apply that way. And I'll give you an example of naming client notebooks. My client notebooks, I just need to know the name of the company or the individual. So that's all the notebook is called. Sandy Softs, Joe's Butcher Shop, whatever the company is, that's the name of the notebook. In the note itself, I have a different process. Oh, and I don't want to miss this. This one was actually shared with me by an Evernote user, and it's a brilliant tip. If you know you're sharing this notebook and you want to be careful not to put proprietary information in there, say your net charges for something and you're selling at retail, you don't want them to know what your costs are. If you label it shared, it's a mental reminder. Oops, my client can see this. Don't put anything in there they're not supposed to see. I have done it by accident. I don't anymore because I've adopted this tip by putting shared in front of any notebook that a client has access to. I don't have a lot of clients that have access to notebooks, but the ones that do all say shared. That's my protection to myself. Okay. And we talked about stacks and then naming the client notes or the actual notes. So for me, you might want to name it by the person first, the name of the business. If you use a job number, you might want to include that and then what it is. So I actually use something a little smaller. I just do this much. So for my promo clients, it'll be Joe's Butcher Shop, job number, and then what did I do for them? And that's the whole note name. That keeps it shorter over here so that I can sort through them faster and find them later. Plus, it's how I work. It's how I think about them. Joe's is doing pens. And what was that job number again? And I want to see it. So I put it in the title, and that way I can see it faster. And then you can name supplier and vendor notebooks and a similar way, or I don't have enough notes for them to have more than one notebook. So I name it by the supplier name and that's good enough. So the whole point being, think about how you think about your content and how you will go back to find it again. And that's how you want to name things.
Wow.
I know I've like got no time left, but I have to at least give a nod to tasks and tell you this is a new feature of Evernote that came out within the last year, where you can, and you can get this information off of the Evernote page too, but you can set up tasks, you can add reminders, you can set due dates, including times, you can flag them, and you can assign them to people. Depending on which service you have with Evernote, you get more of those features when you get into the paid versions. The free version, you can create tasks, but that's about all you can do with it. You go over to the left navigation, you click tasks. When you click that word, I'll just show you, there is a slide out drawer, we call it, that lists all your tasks. You can sort them by who they were assigned to. Yeah, this is not the professional version. It's supposed to be, but it's not. What notes they are in. You get a things to do note to start, but then you can put a task in another note. So I can go to this note and here's the task for it. It's actually in the note, or tasks in basically a to-do list. The to-do list gets messy, I'll be honest. It doesn't sequentially move them. It doesn't move the done tasks down. So if this one's done now, see, it still stays at the top. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of annoying. But it's because you're not supposed to look at it there. That's just a placeholder. You're supposed to work with it in here. And then you can look at things by due dates. Okay. So if you've assigned, obviously none of these things. You put the due dates in there, or you don't have to have a due date, but see how it'll sort it out. So it will surface the most important tasks right there. And this is just really blowing very, very quickly through what tasks are and can do. They're very powerful. It's a way to communicate and collaborate with your team because you create a task and ask somebody to do something. They get a notification. They see the task. They come in and do it. This note gives details of how to create tasks on the different platforms. So I will leave that open for you to read. I explained the default task and then all of these task features. I didn't even try to put in here, but these are all links to Evernote's explanatory articles on how to look at them all in one place, set a due date, how to make it recurring, how to do reminders, flags, the whole nine yards. Some FAQs here about the differences between why would I do tasks, checklists, or checkboxes? Like what you got three different things. What are the differences? It depends on what you're trying to do. Tasks are your action items, and they have features that checkboxes and checklists do not. If you're really a high level user of computers and you know syntax, you can use syntax to search for tasks as well. In fact, syntax is a big part of Evernote. It's things like using key commands for shortcuts. And I didn't even get into this whole column of navigation of tasks. I know I keep saying this, but there's so much to learn about Evernote.
Wow.
But I'm going to call it quits there for now because your head probably wants to explode right now with everything that I just covered.
You know what, Sandy? You've gotten me so excited about this.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how powerful this software was. It's just unbelievable what you can do with it. You can organize an entire company.
I did.
Really? Yeah.
You know, when I got Lyme disease, I couldn't function the way I had prior to it. I had a lot of brain fog and I started thinking, I'm going to miss deadlines. I'm going to forget important details. Like what color ink was I supposed to print on there? How professional am I if I go back and say, oops, I'm sorry, I forgot. Could you tell me the ink color you wanted again? That couldn't happen. So I started putting everything into Evernote. That's where my journey began. Wow. Was I had to build a process to save my business into Evernote. It had to be my brain. And now I can't imagine living without it.
Oh, well, no, it's fantastic. And I'm just going to, Kathleen, we were talking before Sandy came on, that project you had to do today, right? And I said to you, well, you should use a database or spreadsheet. This would have done it, saved you so much time if you'd put all the information into Evernote.
I know. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, Sandy, I can't wait to have you back to
get into tasks in more detail.
I
have a few questions. Well, I have a whole page for questions. But just a couple that will be relevant to our audience. Is most of what you showed us available on the free version, or would a user need to upgrade pretty quickly to a paid version?
Most of it is available in the free version.
Okay, that's great.
But, you know, it's a really affordable app. So that being said, I used to get referral credit as an affiliate, but I don't get that anymore. And that'll tell you how passionate I am about it. I would still encourage people to at least go up to the personal level, which is the first paid level, just because of the extra perks that you'll get and the losing some of the limitations.
Okay, that's good. The next one I wanted to, you were talking about integrations, and I didn't see Google Calendar or Airtable on that list.
That's a whole nother topic, but Google is thoroughly integrated. I have my Google Drive connected and Google Calendar. You know what? That's one thing I didn't show. I'm going to pop back on screen share real quick just so I can show you this specifically. So when you start here, you start with this home. And so one of the things, and I haven't done this yet in because I changed computers, but right here you see there is a calendar and you can add a calendar account and you can add Google, and Outlook is coming. Outlook will soon be able to integrate and you can put that in here. And so this home is all customizable to what you want to see at your fingertips. Recent notes, recently captured data, notebooks, tasks, calendar, shortcuts. So it's a jumping off point. And on your phone, Scratchpad is particularly effective. I don't remember why I typed type there. I think that stood for something, but I don't remember what now. But you customize that here. And by customizing, I mean you can make it different sizes, wider or not. You can remove widgets. If you don't want a scratch pad, then I could go all the way across with that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is, if you want to add a widget, I want to put the scratch pad back. I can just do that. Done. And then I have it laid out the way I want. So you can change the widths of things. And your phone version is different than your desktop version, which is a beautiful thing because it's a much narrower screen. So that's just a quick peek at home and the calendar.
So a question on the calendar. If you're working in a notebook and you're creating an event for a client, let's, for argument's sake, and you sketch out the event in a note, which then goes into a notebook, is a very easy way of posting that to Google Calendar, set up the appointment, or do you have to do that as a separate exercise?
It's integrated.
It's integrated. Okay.
Yeah. We'd have to do a deep dive just on those calendars. But yes.
But for the sake of our conversation today, it's very simple and it saves you time. You don't have to do it twice. Is there integration with Airtable at all?
Not that I'm aware of. I won't say an outright no. I have not attempted to do an integration with Airtable. But the question becomes, are tables in Evernote sufficient? It depends on what you're doing in Airtable. If you're having it do calculations like spreadsheet kinds of actions, then no, Evernote's table is not going to be robust enough. But if you're just organizing information, the table function of Evernote is probably going to serve your purpose. It just depends on what you try to do.
I'm asking for a personal reason. We use Airtable a lot for automation. So triggering emails and appointments and follow-ups and all that, we use that a lot. I guess a lot of it could be done under Evernote.
Well, I will say this. I mean, you have a URL for your Airtable.
Yes.
You can put that on, pin that on a note in on your home. And then you can go into Evernote and you just click right out into Airtable. It'll just launch it.
There we go. Oh, that makes a lot of sense. And then I've got lots of questions. I'm just going to go with a few. I think you explained this, but just for my brain, you can keep on updating a note virtually indefinitely, can you?
Indefinitely. I have notes that are probably pushing 10 years old.
Right. And then with the free version and the next level up, what's the capacity for storing data? Because I can imagine you run up a lot of data by putting everything into this.
Let's see. I'm the only reason I'm hesitating a little bit is because they are in the process of changing this. That's one thing that happened when Bending Spoons came on. But you've got free, personal, and professional. And on the free version, you get 60 megabytes monthly uploads. This is what I meant about getting out of the restrictions by going into the paid version. And a 25 megabyte maximum note size. And that, as you've pointed out, is rather limiting. As soon as you go into personal, you get 10 gigabytes of monthly uploads. I have yet to exceed that. And I told you about all the attachments and whatnot that I put in. 200 megabyte note size instead of 25. So it is a substantial increase. And you have to be in at least personal to get that Google Calendar connection.
Okay.
You don't get
that. No, that's fair comment. My last one, if you're working primarily on the desktop version, is it syncing with the web-based version automatically so that if you go to a client and use your phone, it'll be as up to date as if you're sitting in your computer at your office, right?
This is thoroughly cloud-based. So everything is happening on the Evernote.com part of your account and syncing back to your computer, really. I mean, so as soon as you type something in, it used to be it synced about every 10 minutes or you could hit the sync button and make it, not anymore. Now it's live.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. The only other one I thought of is it could be useful to store whole emails in notebooks for legal reasons. For instance, if it was important that you know when an email was sent or received, that could be useful. And it's a good way of keeping that information outside of your email client in case that crashed at any time, right?
So absolutely. That's what we call a use case, right? You just have a good example for why you would want the whole email. Where I was talking about copying and pasting. I never thought about which, but that's a very good suggestion. Your point too, you talked about crashing. So no software is infallible, right? Everything can go down. Even though this is cloud-based, servers crash too. So Evernote has the option to export your notes as PDFs.
Ah, okay.
And so if you're backing up your computer, which we all should be doing, we should be backing up our computers in at least three places in case any one of them goes down. When you back up the computers, then you will have a backup to all those PDFs. And it's a good idea to make that like a monthly habit, at least with, that's where sorting by how new notes are. If you know you're doing it monthly, you could do a sort on all your notes in your note, under your notes section by date, and then do an export on those notes out to an external file just as protection. Yes. Because their note structure is proprietary. So it's not going to come out as a Word doc, but they have set them up now to come out as PDFs. It's better than it was. So Evernote just keeps getting better.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Ah, that's fantastic. As I think I said to you when we spoke before, I've had Evernote for several years, and I've only ever used it as a web clipper. And and my arrangement of notebooks is a mess. So I feel bad looking how well organized yours was.
But see, honestly, Peter, that is why people like me exist. It's why Evernote has consultants like this, because it's that whole Play-Doh thing, right? It's let's just bring it all together and mash it into a giant ball. Oh, now what do I do? And so that's where we come along and say, okay, so let's think about this. It's, you know, it goes back to Sesame Street days. Which of these things doesn't belong, right? Well, it's which of these things goes together. So you start thinking about what makes sense together, and you start building notebook stacks, and you bring order out of chaos. And that's one of my jobs as a consultant, is to help you see what makes sense to put together and build a structure. And I'll tell you, I've done this for a number of people who come back and say, oh, I get it now. And then they're off and flying. And it's not like they have to keep coming back to me for training. Yes, on new features of the program, but to how to use it. No, once you get it, you get it. And then you just fly along after that.
Sure. No, so it looks really good.
For instance, if you had a small office, or even say a law firm, let's take a law firm that has 20 employees, and you can easily have notebooks for each department within this law firm. You the marketing, you have the whatever, and you share. I mean, I could just see this working so beautifully in, or keeping the channels of communication open within the whole company, because oftentimes that's where breakdowns happen, is the lack of communication. And this this part of the company can be shared with, you know, these notebooks and stacks can be shared with this part, and not with this part, because they don't need to know this information. It's just brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
So I'm going to bring a little bit of clarity to what you just said there. You cannot share a stack, because remember, stacks are individual to each user. Okay. You can share a note or a notebook.
Yeah.
I recommend creating notebooks. If you know you're going to be sharing, creating notebooks and sharing them. The reason is it's just a little trickier. There's actually in the navigation something that says share with me. So when someone shares a note with you, it lives there, but it's harder to find. I recommend just sharing whole notebooks, even if there's two notes in it, because then what will happen is the notebook will be added to their list of notebooks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they can put it in whatever stack they want. So just my personal.
Thank you for the clarity there, Sandy.
Yeah. But I see we were talking about, we're going to have to start using a virtual assistant very soon for parts of our business. This is an ideal way to organize it. Right?
Absolutely. This is totally ideal to work with VAs, because you set up notebooks that the VA needs access to, and no other notebooks than what they need access to. Right. And whenever you need to, and that's where you use shared, right? Mm-hmm. That's where you put that word shared in front of that. And then, you know, the VA has access to that, and you don't accidentally put in some proprietary information that the VA does not need to see.
Wow.
And I know. The mind just starts spinning.
Well, I'm thinking, we were talking about Airtable. We get our new guests. You've been a previous guest. So we only started this after your first time on the show. But we now get our guests to put all their information in an Airtable database for us, right? Hmm. And we then use all that for everything else we need. They put their email, their website, their LinkedIn, and bang, bang, bang. So I could set up Airtable to put the relevant parts of that into a notebook, which a virtual assistant had access to do whatever I don't want to do. Right? So, sorry, I'm dreaming and thinking aloud,
no,
but
no,
I can see possibilities.
Yeah, it works with Zapier. So, you know, you have a Zap. It works with Slack. You can actually communicate in Slack. You can grab a note and reference it in your Slack conversation. I mean, you can take things out of Slack and create notes out of them. So, I mean, that's just
the way. Zapier is fully integrated with Airtable as well. And it, for some really complicated things, you actually need Zapier to be like a bridge in between.
Right.
So, yeah, that. Let me stop talking. I can just see huge possibilities for saving time here.
So, Sandy, the next time we have you back, what will you cover?
Oh, my. So where did I leave off, I guess, is the question.
Well, you got into tasks a little bit. And
I think I would do a deeper dive in tasks. I would talk about how to integrate Google Calendar. And hopefully by then, Evernote Calendar is in there. We could discuss tagging. I could show how you create templates for any of the recurring tasks that you do. I love templates. We started doing them before Evernote even started creating them, but now Evernote has a full database of pre-done templates.
Wow.
Some of them created by the experts as we've been working in the program more in depth. So there's a lot.
Okay.
Fantastic. I could slow down and explain some of the functions too. You know, walk through the editing, walk through what was that whole left navigation drop down menu that I didn't even look at with you. You know, there's, we could do this four or five more times.
Perfect. Excellent. So we're running on time. So a quick message for our premium members, just to reinforce what Sandy just been saying, in the very near future, she will be back to give you more information on how you can save time and run your business much more efficiently with Evernote. And we'll be going over tasks, to-do lists, Google Calendar integration, tagging, and templates. That was really quick. And then Sandy, for both our general audience who only got part of this presentation today, and especially our premium audience, how do people contact you if they want to get firsthand advice and tuition on Evernote?
Well, you can find me at my website, which is www.sandysolves.com. And if for some reason that doesn't come up, you can do Sandy Rodriguez, but that's S-A-N-D-E-E solves or Rodriguez.com. Either one will get you there. You can also find me on LinkedIn at Sandy Rodriguez, again, S-A-N-D-E-E-R-O-D-R-I-G-U-E-Z. And all over the place, if you do hashtag Sandy Solves, you will find everything I've been putting up in the social media world. So lots of different ways to find me.
Excellent. And for the audio listeners on our podcast, I really advise you to go to our website, theyakingshow.com, and look at Sandy's video, because you'll get far more benefit watching the video than you will just from listening to it. So, Sandy, from my side, once again, thank you. And back to Kathleen to round it off.
Oh, it's been a pleasure having you on the show again, Sandy. And we really look forward to having you again. And thank you all so very much for tuning in. And until next time, take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.